The following is a presentation from Lancaster Baptist Church and Pastor Paul Chapel.
Tonight's message is a different message, and it's by design as we speak tonight on the subject, the essentials of prayer. I'd like to say two things about this message. First of all, we are going to have a very special service this Wednesday night like we've not had in our church before in the sense of prayer, and it will be a prayer meeting, and I don't want that to scare you. And it's not going to be a prayer meeting where we break into groups and, you know, pray for 30 seconds and go have donuts. But we're gonna have a unique prayer meeting. It's not going to embarrass anybody. It's going to be an enjoyable time with the Lord, but it will be a prayer meeting. And so I'm going to do most of the preaching tonight. We're going to do most of the praying Wednesday night. And I hope that you'll kind of carry this message with you, and it'll be a blessing. And then this message tonight is from the book of Daniel. My main resource and study was the book on prayer by Brother Benny Beckham, and it's in our bookstore. And I'm trying to get the exact title, Brother Cox. You remember the title of it? It's slipping me right now. The Prayer Revival by Benny Beckham. If you're that book was a blessing to me this past week, just in reading and just challenging my heart. And if you want just a good resource, I would recommend that book to you. It's called The Prayer Revival. Daniel chapter 2, and we're going to look at several portions of Daniel, just going through his prayer life and learning from his prayer life. If you want to keep your Bible open to the book of Daniel, we'll go through the book several passages. Daniel chapter 2 and verse 23 for our text. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might, and hast made known unto me now what we desired of thee. For thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers. Shall we pray? Now, Lord, tonight I thank you for the privilege of sharing some of the upcoming events and talking about how to prepare for the upcoming week. Lord, I just pray that you'd help us as a church to find and to be renewed in the joy of serving you. And I pray that you would bless this Bible study, Lord, as we preach tonight on a subject that is often neglected. And Lord, I pray that you would remind us that you're waiting for us to come boldly into the throne of grace. And I pray this in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. No one would ever argue that prayer is essential for the growth of a Christian. No one would argue that. That would be like saying you don't need to read your Bible. No one would say that. The Bible is very clear that we're to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. No one would ever argue that prayer is non-essential. It is certainly essential for our spiritual growth. It is essential for the growth of any church. I've often wondered, in fact, if this church has not been blessed primarily because of a few secret prayer warriors that are in our midst. Unaware of their presence, we may walk by them, not realizing that we're walking by some of the great prayer warriors of the day in which we live. Spurgeon said of prayer, "Prayer is the slender nerve that moveth the muscles of omnipotence." Prayer is the slender nerve that moves the muscles of omnipotence, Almighty God. The psalmist said in Psalm 119, 126, "It is time for thee, Lord, to work, for they have made void thy law." It is time for thee, Lord, to work. When we work, we work. But when we pray, God works. And what we need today is to see God at work. Tonight, we are going to peek into the prayer closet of a man named Daniel. We're going to get a glimpse into the life of a great man of prayer. Oftentimes when we think of Daniel, we think of his purpose. The Bible says that Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat. And we need young men like Daniel today who will purpose in their heart. I will not watch that. I will not go there. I will not drink that. I have purposed in my heart that I belong to God. Daniel was that kind of a man. And we need men of purpose who will say, I will be faithful to my wife. I will be faithful to the house of God. We need men like that today, purposeful men. Men that just stand for what is right. Daniel's known for that. Daniel was known for his prophecies. Daniel foretold events that were yet to come and some that are still to come for this very day. And oftentimes in prophetic teaching, we study Daniel's prophecy and we learn about the times to come and the days of tribulation. Daniel is known for these things. But tonight we're going to look into a part of his life that perhaps is lesser thought of, and that is something that no one really knows about you, no one really knows about me. It's something that is known only between the person and the one to whom they are speaking, God in heaven, and that is the prayer life of Daniel. We're going to look at a few verses here and there that give us an understanding as to why he had such a great purpose and why he could give such wonderful prophecies and why God seemingly was so upon his life. In 605 BC, we know that Judah was under Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. And as we read in the Word of God, Jehoiakim was reigning in Judah when Nebuchadnezzar invaded and took of the temple and destroyed and massacred many within the city. We also know that it was during that first invasion that there were young Jewish males taken out of Judah, and they were taken to Babylon at that time period, 605 BC. And then later in 586 BC, the plundering took place once again, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem were taken into that period of 70-year captivity that we have read about in the past, that period of time around the same time in which Nehemiah lived and others were taken into captivity by Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel was deported in that period of time and was one of those young men that was trained by the Babylonians in their culture, in their food, in their religious thought. He was trained to be a loyal subject to the king, Nebuchadnezzar. His identity was, they attempted to take away his religious identity. I had the privilege to counsel with one of our families this evening before church that has a young person considering their future, and they asked if they could speak to their pastor, and I was challenging them with the fact that one of the reasons it's so important where our children attend college and how they spend their future is because there is in many instances a desire on the part of different professors to strip away the identity of a Christian young person and to challenge and to rob them of those values. And we need to never relinquish our role in the lives of our children until that day that they come to the wedding altar. And even then, we're still their parents and we pray for them. And that was what was happening with Daniel. He was taken out of his homeland and taken to a place where they were trying to take away his identity and change his culture and his religious views. Daniel, however, as I said a moment ago, purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the unrighteous ways of Nebuchadnezzar. And though he learned about their culture, and though he was an educated young man, he never turned his back on his God. And may I say to our single adults, no matter where you go, no matter what you're doing in life, be true to your God. Stand up for Jesus as a soldier of the cross of Jesus Christ. But Daniel had opportunity in his life whereby without the assistance of God, he could not be used of God as greatly as he was. And tonight I want you to see in Daniel's prayer life how God seemed to bless that behind the scenes part of his life. You see, all of us in our lives have what we could call the front stage life and the backstage life. And just like someone who would come out and do a Broadway show, all of us know how to make things look good on the front stage life. And we know kind of how to look and what to say. Amen, brother, how you doing? You know, praying for you. We understand that, and hopefully that's sincere. That's the front stage life. But the fact is that there must be a backstage life. And the fact is that if a Broadway star didn't memorize their notes, and if the Broadway star didn't put on their makeup, and if a Broadway star didn't rehearse with the cast, even a great Broadway star could come out and make a fool of themselves if they didn't have a backstage life. because it takes hundreds of hours of practice and memory in order to come out and do what they do. In the Christian life, we're going to see tonight a man named Daniel, for example, who had a front stage life. He had a presence before the king. He had the audience of the king. He was a man in rulership. He was a man given authority. But what was significantly more important than his proximity to the king was his proximity to the King of Kings in the private prayer closet. And I'm going to tell you something tonight. If you do not have a backstage life, if you do not have real prayer with your wife, if you do not have real prayer with your God, if you do not have real time as a family with God, eventually your backstage life is going to catch up with your front stage life. And excuse me, you can blame the society, you can blame the church, you can blame the school, you can blame the rest of your life, but you and you alone tonight know what's going on in your backstage life. I've never had a man once say to me, "You know, this has happened to my family, and I think it's because I only prayed 3 hours a day." I've never had that said to me. And I'm here to tell you tonight that Daniel had a backstage life. He had a life that was real with God. Let's learn about it. First of all, I want you to see his praise in prayer. I want you to see that in his prayer life, he praised God. Now, in Daniel chapter 2, Nebuchadnezzar has threatened to kill all of his counselors unless they could interpret his dream. And you've studied that story. And Daniel makes an appeal, and he says to Nebuchadnezzar, "I need time to talk to my God about your dream. I can interpret this only with God giving me the wisdom." And so here in verse 23, we see the praise of his prayer. He says, "I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who has given me wisdom and might, and has made known unto me now what we desired of thee, for thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter." The word praise here involves adoration or adulation. Adoration meaning reverence or esteem or respect. And here Daniel was giving reverence to God and he was giving praise to God. Daniel chapter 2 and verse 20, notice what it says there. Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his, and he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him." You see, Daniel, as he begins to pray, he says, "Oh, blessed be the name of God forever and ever." And he begins his prayer with adoration. He begins his prayer praising God for who he is and praising God for what he knows and for what he does. And so we see the praise of his prayer began with adoration. When was the last time you just said, "God, you're a great God. God, you're a good God. You're a powerful God. You're a wonderful God. You're a gracious God. You're a soul-saving God. You're a revealing God. You're a kind God. Thank you, God, for being a wonderful God." When was the last time you talked to God like that? Daniel said, "I just want to praise my God for who he is and adore my God for who he is." You see, praise involves adoration. Praise involves adulation. Adulation is thanksgiving and giving acclaim to God for his greatness. Deuteronomy 32 and verse 4 says this, "He is the rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he." 1 Chronicles 16, if you'll turn there for just a moment, please. 1 Chronicles 16, 26. I want you to see this wonderful portion of prayer in 1 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 26. As David prays, hear the heart of this. "For all the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made heavens." Have you ever said that? Have you ever said, "Lord, all of the other people worship the stone god and the rock god and the fire god, and they're praying to the unknown god, But I'm glad, Lord, that you made the heavens. I'm praying to the Lord that made the heavens. Verse 27, glory and honor are in thy presence. Strength and gladness are in his place. Give unto the Lord, ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. I see that Daniel teaches us first and foremost in his prayer life. In chapter 2, right out of the gate, he's praising God with adoration and adulation, and he's giving to the Lord the worth and the honor that is due to him. And I'm going to tell you something. When we stand and pray, when we kneel and pray, when we're in private prayer, we need to praise God for who he is and for the attributes that he possesses, that he is all powerful and that he is all knowing, that he is all merciful, that he is everlasting. Oh, listen tonight. You serve the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, a wonderful God. And if a king came to visit the church, or if the president came to visit the church, certainly we would say something kind. We'd find something kind. But I'm going to tell you, you don't have to search to find something kind to say to the God that keeps you out of hell, that gave you his Holy Spirit, that gave you his Holy Bible, we ought to praise God in our prayer time. Just take some time before you start asking to tell God how good and wonderful he is. But notice, secondly, the petition in Daniel's prayer. We see praise in the first place, but I want you to turn to Daniel 6 for just a moment. And then when we come to Daniel 6, we're under a new king by the name of Darius. And Darius has promoted Daniel above all the other young rulers because Daniel had an excellent spirit. Now, let me just help some of you men. One of the ways that God blesses in a workplace is when you keep your spirit excellent. An excellent spirit, attitude, often determines altitude. Daniel had an excellent spirit. And for that, we see Daniel rising in the ranks. And yet when he rose, there were some jealous subordinates. And they went to the king, Darius, and they said to Darius in their jealousy, they said, we need to pass a law that anyone who prays in the next 30 days to anyone other than the king should be placed in jail. That anyone who violates this should be punished. They understood, because they had watched Daniel, that he prayed 3 times a day. They knew that Daniel looked towards Jerusalem and he prayed to God and he adored God and he praised God. And they hated that. And they did not want that prayer going forth. And so they said, Darius, nobody should pray except to you, Darius. Make a decree that it be so. But I want you to see in verse 7, the presidents of the kingdom, the governors, the princes, the counselors, the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree. And whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Look at verse 12 then. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man shall ask, that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Then answered they and said before the king, that Daniel, would you say that with me, please? That Daniel. Okay. How many of you understand Daniel was on their radar? And a godly man is not always loved by all of his subordinates. That Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition 3 times a day. So we notice in his prayer closet, first, praise to God, praising Creator God, praising the glory of God with adoration and adulation or thanksgiving. Now he moves from praise to petition, and he is petitioning. This is a specific prayer being given to God. A petition is a request. It is a list of requests, perhaps. Making petition to God means that Daniel was 3 times a day asking God for some specific prayer requests. seeking the will of a superior authority and asking that God would intervene with a specific petition. Ask and it shall be given thee. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you, the Bible says in the book of Matthew. And I want to challenge you tonight as we consider our prayer life this week. Yes, we will give you a list Wednesday night. Yes, we will give you a list like we give you every Wednesday night. Here's my challenge to you. Bring your list. Put a list on your iPad. Put a list on a yellow pad. Put a list somewhere. Make a petition list, a specific list of things that you are praying for, that you are asking God for. I think of the prayer list that I have for my own life, and it begins with the prayers that I have for myself. Someone says, I'll tell you about Pastor Chapel. Listen, they don't have to tell you. I'll tell you. I am not perfect. I've got to pray for myself to be a better Christian every single day. And I want to challenge you to put yourself there on the prayer list. And what is it that you need to improve upon this year? Is it in your marriage? Is it in your child raising? Is it with your spirit? Is it with your attitude? Is it soul winning compassion? Is it greater giving? Is it, what is it in your life? And pray for yourself and pray with petition that God would make you the man that God wants you to become. And ask Him. I pray for my family then. Now I've prayed nearly every day of my married life. And normally, many times a day, God, help Terry today. Keep her safe. Give her strength. Give her wisdom. Help her with the children. Lately, I've prayed, help her with her mother. And help her with the needs that she has in her life. And I pray for my wife. I pray for our children. Now, I prayed for our children every single day that God would keep them in purity, that God would keep them faithful, that God would help them to be respectful. Sometimes I had to pray harder about that. But I prayed every day for them. They were not perfect, but they had a dad who prayed for them. They made mistakes, but they had a dad who was praying for them. I prayed that God would put a protective hedge about them. I prayed that the fiery darts of the devil would be quenched. I knew the time would come when they would have to take up their own shield of faith. But I prayed a shield about them, and I asked God to protect them. I prayed for my children from the time they were young for their spouses. I said, Lord, somewhere in America, maybe right here at Lancaster Baptist, somewhere, there's a mom and a dad raising their son, and that boy's going to marry our daughter. And I don't know who he is or where he is or who the parents are, but Lord, I pray that those parents right now have devotions with that boy. I pray that that boy loves church and loves the old songs and loves the old book. And I pray, Lord, that young man would be raised up in accordance to thy holy word. I prayed for my sons-in-laws and daughter-in-laws before I knew them. Remember our son-in-law, Peter, telling me one time a few years ago how he came to West Coast Baptist College. He said there was a college that everyone from their church was going to, and he thought about going there, and that was the one he was familiar with. He said he'd heard about West Coast, and a lot of people back in Iowa were talking about West Coast Baptist College. He kind of wondered about that. He didn't know what to do. And one day he was driving to Fargo, North Dakota to install some carpeting for a floor installation company. And he said he had on a Christian radio. And he said a message came over the radio and somebody was preaching and yelling and screaming about God, serving God, being faithful and preaching away. And he said, I like that preaching. I don't know who that is, but that's some good preaching. He said at the end of the broadcast, he said, you've been listening to Pastor Paul Chapel from the Lancaster Baptist Church and the West Coast Baptist College. And he said, God used that in my heart to steer my attention toward the West Coast Baptist College. And God brought him here where he and Danielle met and were married and are living and serving to the glory of God. I say, well, that's a coincidence. I'd like to think it might have had something to do with 18 years of prayer seeking the face of God on behalf of that child. Some of you parents, I love you with all my heart. But I'm amazed oftentimes just how quickly, how with little counsel, no talking to a pastor or a youth pastor. I hope with some prayer, but just suddenly, whoo, all of a sudden, there goes the children. All of a sudden, here's the big decision. I want to tell you tonight, pray, pray, beg God, get to the throne of grace, get to the house of God, get up early, pray for your children. Listen, the devil's got friends that you don't want them to be friends with your children. And the devil has ways to lure your children. And even now, no doubt is planning. I'm going to tell you tonight, we've got to pray for our children. Seek the face of God. Say, well, Pastor, we can make all these rules we want to make, but we just can't be with the children all the time. Aren't you smart? Thanks for telling me that. I was trying to figure out how to be with all four of my kids all the time. Don't belittle rules just because you can't be there all the time. My Bible still says train them up in the way they should go. That's my job as a parent. But I'll tell you something I can do. I can make a list of petitions. And I can pray for my children. And I now pray for my grandchildren. I've added them onto the list. And I was talking to Camden's teacher today. They said, man, that little guy comes up and says things we're not expecting. He told the teacher today, that's a bad word. He told me that the other day. He said, Papa, Nana said a bad word. Turns out it wasn't a bad word at all. He just thought it was a bad word. It was a good word. But he's got a conscience about some bad words that aren't really bad yet. I don't know where all that's going. But I'll tell you what, I'm praying he'll get saved someday. You say, are you praying he'll be a preacher? No, he's already a preacher. Honestly, I don't know what he'll be. I just want him to be in the center of God's will. I want him to have a holy heart. I want to live for the Lord. I want to pray for him. I want to pray him up through that time. I want to ask God to help little Delaney, our granddaughter, to have a holy and a godly life. And I'm praying for little Chandler. He's such a blessing, little smiley Chandler, that he'll be used of God. And Layton, our little granddaughter Layton, she's always smiling at Papa. I'm praying she'll have the smile of God upon her life. I'm praying right now for Matt and Katie, as they're now expecting in a few months our fifth grandchild. Listen, I don't know what I can do for those kids. I hope I can help them down the way, maybe with education or maybe with a book or some advice. But I know one thing I can do. I can make a list for them, and I can pray to God for them. I can pray for the country they're being raised in to have revival. I can pray that God would bless the family their spouses are growing up in. I can be faithful Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night to preach the Word of God. I can love their grandma. I can be faithful to God in prayer for my grandchildren. That's something you can do. Make a list. I pray for our church family. This matter of petitions. And I ask God to help me in the matter of prayer, to be a better prayer warrior for our church family. And I make petitions to the Lord. I have the prayer list with me here. And I think about our church family on this platform tonight. Are the sermons that I've preached in this church for 27 years. 27 years I've prepared these messages. 27 years, and you feel free to come look at them tonight. Thousands and thousands of pages, and I can tell you these are pages where I've had petitions with the Lord, and I've said, God, use this message. God, help that young couple to get a godly life here. God, here's a message on repentance. Help that man to turn around, Lord. Don't let him go that way. I've prayed for you as I've prepared these. You say, are you thinking about us first? No, I'm thinking about God first. But I'll be honest with you, I've got you on my mind when I prepare these messages. And I ask the Lord to use the message. Sometimes I'll pray, God, help that lady there. She's going to get sideways. She's going to have a problem. And she'll drag her whole family right out of church. She'll wear that good man down, Lord. Help the lady there to hear the message, Lord. Help that lady. And I'll pray, God, help those teenage boys. Help those teenage boys that have just been struggling a little bit, Lord. Help them with this message here about obedience to their parents. And every one of these messages for 27 years, it hasn't just been some kind of a scientific, theological, expository, how can I sound good? No, I've prayed, Lord, take your word and give me from your word the things to say. And I'm going to preach through this book of the Bible and this book of the Bible. And I've preached through over 40 books of the Bible. I've preached theme after theme and pouring my heart out in the study, in prayer, early in the mornings, waking up many times, can't sleep, and this past week thinking about this family and that family and praying for this single adult and that single adult, preparing message after message in prayer, asking God to bless the members of the Lancaster Baptist Church. I make my petitions before the Lord. I have my prayer list. I have it on this, and I have it on the Kindle. I open it up every day. And I go through the prayer list praying for the church membership. And I'll be honest with you, a lot of times I'll pray for someone I don't always have the face to the name. And that's not my fault. You want me to know you better? Say hi to me. Never been a pastor wanted to know his flock like this pastor. But I can't know somebody who's Casper the Friendly Ghost Baptist. But I look around this auditorium tonight and I can say for 95% of you, I know who you are, where you are, and I'm praying and asking God, and I'm asking God for your children. I'm asking God for your marriage. I'm asking God to help you along the way, preparing the messages, making petitions. Oftentimes as I'm praying, I'll think, haven't seen him lately. I want to pray a little harder right here. They've got a teenager there. I want to pray for that teenager right now. I want to pray for this dear lady here. And then I have the prayer list that comes in on Monday. And I'll think, now this lady's aunt here has cancer. I want to stop and pray for that right now. And I spend time in prayer and making petition before the Lord. And I'm saying tonight, we've got to have a prayer list and we've got to make our petition before the Lord. That's what God has blessed in this church. And if we think that just being members of Lancaster Baptist is enough, we are wrong. We've got to spend time in prayer with our Lord, making our petition before the Lord in prayer. E.M. Bounds said, though thou goest before the entrance into the closet, and when thou goest before the entrance of thy closet, prepare the way by thinking first. Consider what you will bring to God in that hour, as praying is asking for something definite of God. We ought to think, what shall I ask for in this hour? Prayer is asking, specific praying, intercessory praying. Notice, if you would, in Daniel chapter 9, Daniel was reading here from Jeremiah and other books that had been held in Judah. And notice in Daniel chapter 9, in verse 3, he says, "And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes." Here we see this man praying on behalf of the people of God in Judah. I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplication. Notice this, with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. The thought of perhaps putting ashes on ourselves, the thought of dressing in sackcloth. We don't do that in the New Testament era. But what Daniel was saying is, listen, I don't want the niceties of nice clothing. I don't want the niceties of being washed and cleaned and comfortable. I don't want the privilege of food. I want nothing more than God to answer this prayer. And I'm saying tonight that all of our failures are prayer failures when there's a God who says in Hebrews 10:19, come boldly, and we never go. If you had $100,000 of debt, and you had an uncle who said to you, "Hey, I've got millions. $100,000 is nothing. If you ever need any, let me know." Now, first of all, how many of you would like to have that uncle for just one day? I just would like to get to know that uncle sometime. If you had that uncle and you had the creditor screaming down your neck and you didn't call that uncle, I'd say, "What's wrong with you? Call Uncle Zeke, get the money, and get some for the church while you're at it." Listen, we have a God who says, "Come to me. What's on your mind? What's going on with the fam? How can I help you today?" And we never go. It's like this weird thing when we talk about it. We never go. Guys, it ought not to be weird when you pray for your meal at lunch. It ought to be just a part of a conversation you're having with the Lord. The word intercession means to entreat. It means to make entreaty. I prepare these messages. I'm making entreaty before the Lord. I'm asking God. Many of these messages are handwritten messages. Many of them, if you'll look at the outlines, have stains of sweat or even blood from preaching over the years on building the home. And you go through and you see on the priorities of life, these are messages, straight talk about marriage. These are 27 years of messages about the Christian testimony and just saying, "God, I'm praying that you'll help someone's family here. I'm praying that you'll use this to keep someone on the straight and narrow." The devil's going to try to pull somebody apart. And every once in a while, listen, not in this church necessarily, but every once in a while, I know how it is. You'll be out in town. Someone will come to your house. Listen, some woman with a long, wicked, satanic tongue that has a poison to spew and a fire to start. And
and some woman will come along and say, I'll tell you what you ought to do with your life. Hey, I can't go to your house and intervene in that time, but I can pray that God's Holy Spirit will intervene, that you'll understand there's a God in heaven, there's a Bible that will guide you, and that you'll not let the poison of an asp of a woman who's a gossip, or a man who's a gossip, or a wicked, divisive person send you the wrong way. Listen, I can't be in every home and in every car and with every commuter, but I can bring my petition before God and ask Him to help you along the way to know when to turn away, to know when to go forward, to know how to be a faithful man or woman of God. The Bible says in 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 1, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you. That's what I pray. Lord, would you help this message to have free course? You know, I've preached for over 30 years. I know what it is to pray and pray and get up in the pulpit, and you're kind of making a run at it, and you hit a wall. I've been there. And you're trying to preach. You want God to use you. And sometimes I go back and I'll pray, Lord, is it me? Lord, I didn't feel liberty to preach tonight. Is there something in my life? Is there something? And I'll sometimes, and Terry will tell you, normally on Friday night when the weekend's coming, I start being really good. Now, I'm always good, but I'm really good on Friday and Saturday. And even this morning, before I was leaving the house, I had my Cheerios, took my vitamin, and I went back to kiss my wife goodbye before I came in the office. I said, you doing okay, hon? Everything's okay, right? Because guys, we do stupid stuff and don't even know we do stupid stuff. It's amazing how stupid we are, really. I never knew it till I got married, but I am stupid. And you guys that are married, you're stupid too. And that's the word Camden says, a bad word. I got to stop saying that word. Turn off the screens in the nursery. Say why? Because 1 Peter says that if a man and his wife aren't right with one another, our prayers are hindered. That your prayers be not hindered. I don't want to stand up here to preach and here comes the scripture and it doesn't even get to the first pew because there's something wrong between me and my wife. And sometimes I'll go back and I'll say, Lord, and if there's something it brings to mind, I want to confess it. I want freedom when I preach. Then sometimes it might be sin in the camp, like with Achan in the Old Testament, who stole from God. And that's why Paul said, pray for us that the word of the Lord can have free course. Because as a preacher, sometimes you're preaching and the word's going out and the Holy Spirit carries the word, but sometimes it can come to someone that's got sin in their life, they got bitterness in their heart, they're angry at someone, there's something going on, and all of a sudden, there's not the freedom to preach. And you know what you ought to pray for? God, give the pastor freedom tonight to preach the word of God. And when the Holy Spirit's moving down my row, may he feel right at home in row 212 or whatever your number is tonight. Free course. The petition to pray and make intercession. There's the praise. Then there's the petitions of Daniel. Notice thirdly, the persistence in this man's prayer. The persistence in this man's prayer. Now come to Daniel 6 with me. And notice in verses 10 and 11, the law has been signed by Darius. The law of the Medes and the Persians. Thou shalt not pray. How many of you think in America laws like that may be passed? How many know they're already being passed? We live in a country where a few weeks ago in San Diego, a school board voted to allow 100 Muslim children to be able to read the Quran and pray toward Mecca during their lunchtime. And another school board in Tennessee voted that it was illegal for children to read their Bible and pray at their lunchtime. America's changing so rapidly today. And in part because Christians are not raising up a hedge of prayer against it. And there's this law passed and it says, no praying, Daniel. But I want you to see how Daniel responds and I want you to see his persistence in prayer. Now, when Daniel knew what the writing was signed, that the writing was signed. So Daniel knew that the writing was signed. He went into his house, shut his windows and his doors and cried. Is that what it says? He went into his house and called his attorney. Is that what he did? He went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Here is a man who said, I will not quit bringing my prayer requests to my God. I will not quit bringing these petitions. I've got too much to pray for. I've got to pray for Jerusalem. I've got to pray for my family. I've got to pray that Jerusalem would be restored. Yeah, I'm praying, Daniel could have said, that somebody will raise up a wall around Jerusalem. I'm praying for Ezra that somehow the temple will be rebuilt. I'm praying for the 3 Hebrew children that they'll stand. I'm praying for these young teenagers here in Babylon that they'll not forget the faith of their fathers, that they'll not forget the 10 commandments, that they'll not forget the law that was given to them. I cannot stop praying. There's too much to pray for. Why have you stopped praying? Everything's fine in America? Everything's fine in your family? Your kids are all married and they're doing well, and all the grandkids are fine, and there's no issue? Oh, they're still in the home? You've got lots to still pray about. And when they're married, you got lots to pray about. And Daniel said, I don't care what the law is. I'm going to talk to my God. And 3 times a day, he threw the window open. And 3 times a day, his posture was to kneel. And 3 times a day, he prayed to God. And the Bible tells us, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. You see, petitions are what we ask for. And supplication is how we ask for them. Petition is the prayer list. Supplication is pouring your whole heart into it. It's getting on your knees. It's getting a bit uncomfortable. It's with my body, soul, and mind, and spirit, crying out to God and saying, God, I need to hear from you. And God, I want you to know my petition here. And God, if there's anything in my heart hindering this, show it to me, Lord. I want to be persistent in the matter of prayer. It involves first an earnest heart. John Bunyan said, prayer is a sincere, sensible, affectionate pouring out of our heart and soul to God through Jesus Christ. Jesus said in Luke 18, men ought always to pray and not to faint. Men ought always to pray, not to faint. Now please understand what I'm about to say, because I am not belittling anybody. There are times on Saturday mornings at our men's prayer, I might pray for a few minutes or I might pray for much longer. We don't judge someone's prayer life by how long they pray at a particular moment. But if all of your prayers are 20-second prayers, you have not yet learned how to supplicate before God. Nothing wrong with a 20-second prayer. But supplication is an earnestness in prayer. Prayer is a gift from God. Seeking God's help, praying perhaps through a night, praying for hours, praying for a day, setting aside a day of prayer. Someone sick, call the elders for prayer. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. Sometimes I wonder if people want the answer to prayer. Sometimes I wonder if people have already kind of figured out what they want and they don't want something different. Listen, friend, what we want is God's will done on this earth. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Earnest prayer. And then prayer that is a prayer of persistence is an entreaty. Notice in Daniel 9 and verse 3, I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. What would happen in your marriage if you took a day to fast just for your marriage? What would happen in America if just a small group of people would begin to pray and fast for America? Pray with entreaty. Look at Daniel 9:17. Now therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplications
and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate for the Lord's sake. Could I ask you to begin tonight with me praying, God, cause your face to shine on this sanctuary. God, in this upcoming meeting, as we come in from a dark world, as guests come in from a difficult situation, may the Shekinah glory of God rest upon this place. Daniel said, God, shine your face upon it. May there be a heavenly glow on your sanctuary. Earnestly entreating the Lord. Notice as he continues on, if you would, reading this prayer, verse 18, Daniel 9. Oh my God. By the way, we taught our children, we don't say, oh my God, in slang at our home. We did not use the derivatives of God's name in our home. God's name is holy. When he says, oh my God, he says this reverently, personally. Oh my God, incline thine ear and hear. Again, we're just looking at this man's prayer closet. We're just opening the door and looking into Daniel's prayer closet. Here's what he says. Behold our desolations and the city which is called by thy name. For we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousness, but for thy great mercies. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not for thine own sake, O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. And whilst I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God. Here's a man who with entreaty is crying out to the Lord his God. He's asking God to change a city. He's asking God to illuminate a sanctuary. He's asking God for the sins of people to cause repentance and to bring revival. And he was being persistent three times a day. And he would not stop begging with intensity that his God would do something great. Ultimately, the heart of this man was in direct communication and communion with his Creator through prayer. It was a natural, wonderful part of Daniel's life to go to the prayer closet and talk to God. And I'm telling you tonight, prayer is the power bringer for the church. And where there is no prayer, there is no power. And prayer is the hand that touches the hem of the garment of God's divine grace. And we'll not have a great meeting just because it's on the calendar. And we'll not have God's touch just because we have a meeting. But we will, when we come to God in prayer, see God do what only God can do. Praise the Lord. Come to Him with praise. Come to Him with petitions. Tell Him what you need. And come to Him with persistence. I want to be a more persistent man. I want to be a man that is more and more faithful to the Lord in the next 27 years by the grace of God. My hand may be a little shaky and my bone finger a little more bony, but I still want to be able to stand up and preach the Word of God and know the Lord in a greater way a couple decades from now. But I'm going to tell you something tonight. Without prayer, it's not going to happen. Now, I've tried for 27 years to be faithful in the matter, but I want to say, as we're approaching next Sunday night, I won't get to preach to you next Sunday night. I want to say, by the grace of God, if there's an area I'd like to see our church grow in the next decade, it's in prayer. Seeking God personally in these three ways: praise, petitions, and being persistent before the throne of grace. Tonight, we're going to take some time for prayer. Wednesday night's all about prayer. And I'd like us as a church to humble ourselves before the Lord and just to readily admit, we haven't arrived, Lord. We're just sinners saved by grace. And we're going to ask you to show up in a great way and to be glorified in our lives and in our church.